I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Welcome to Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
I have just spent some spectacular time this weekend running around Dutchess County, New York to some phenomenal and fabulous places. And it's interesting that this area is not only filled, bubbling over, percolating with all kinds of wonderful historic and cultural and artistic and name it. You have an interest? You'll find it in Dutchess County. Both indoorsy and outdoorsy kinds of adventures. And it's also amazingly rural and agricultural at the same time. Lots of farmland and wineries. And again, remember, it's barely an hour from New York City to Dutchess County. And so it didn't take much to encourage us to make a stop at a place that I actually did an interview with about 3 years ago, the Millbrook Vineyards and Winery. It's located in Millbrook, New York, so the name of the place is easy to remember. And I had on the general manager by telephone because a few years back, we came and spent some time in Dutchess County. That's why we're back now, because we needed an update. And regrettably, the fellow who was the GM of the winery wasn't available to meet us when we were here last. So we did our best to fit it into our day. And I'm going to take you over to the Millbrook Vineyards and Winery to meet with one of its directors, Scott Koster, right after this.
Stephanie Abrams' travel shows are brought to you by the Boston Symphony Orchestra. Get ready for another exciting summer as tickets are on sale now for Tanglewood, the summer home of the BSO in the beautiful Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts. Plan your Tanglewood summer now at bso.org or get tickets at 888-266-1200.
I got to start by telling you a very funny story. I am at the Millbrook Vineyards and Winery. You can find them online at millbrookwine.com, and Brook does not have an E at the end. millbrookwine.com. So we're sitting in one of the tasting rooms. And we're getting set up and organized and sorted out to start to chat with you. And there are five bottles of wine. There's a, I don't know what that is. There's a Cabernet Franc. There's a Pinot Noir. There's a Chardonnay. There's a dry Riesling. And I've got Scott Koster with me. So what does that say?
That is a Tokaj Friulano.
Easy for you to say.
Italian grape that we grow here.
Oh, nice. All right. So, and they look pretty because two are, you can see, are, one is really looking, the Cabernet is looking very dark red, and the Pinot Noir is looking very burgundy colored. And the next one is kind of an amber, the Chardonnay is kind of a deep amber color, and the next bottle is green. So the next bottle is green, and it's the Riesling, and then there's the one I can't pronounce that's, you know, like a pale white wine color. Okay. And they're all, two have not been opened, and three, the cork was in, they have been opened.
I used them in the market today to help push Millbrook wines to retailers.
Okay. So while we're sitting here, all right, as soon as I saw the Riesling, the first thing I thought of was Mozart. And that's because it is embedded in my brain from, I don't know if you knew it, Scott, but I am the ambassador to North America for Saxony Tourism, for the Saxony Germany region of tourism. And on one of our many trips to the region, we went out to the, I can't even say it, but it's something like Wiesenbacher something, something state winery. And they put on a big show that's fabulous there. And they you see these big copper brewing tanks of where they're distilling or whatever it is you do with wine. And they do a sound and light show with neon lights. And they play music that, in their mind, matches the wine. Now we go to a restaurant in Leipzig, and in this restaurant, you know how people pair food and wine?
Yes.
They pair, not only they pair food and wine, but when the wine comes out, they pair it with music. So when they serve Riesling, or is it Riesling?
Riesling.
Riesling. When they serve Riesling, they play Mozart, because they say that the personality of the Riesling is very much like the music of Mozart. So when you, and every time they bring something from the kitchen or from the bar or from wherever it's coming, you'll hear the music play, because it's all the food, the music, the wine, it's all paired up. The last thing the owner, who only spoke German, and my German is quite limited, so we had with us somebody from the tourist board who was translating and whatnot. The last thing he said to me when I was leaving the restaurant was, "When you think Riesling, you think Mozart."
Mozart.
Okay. So I'm sitting here thinking Mozart, and I guess the wine heard it. Tell my audience what happened while I was sitting here.
We have these nice closures that we put on the wine once we open it.
Like the rubber corks.
They're a rubber stopper. And there's a little pressure built up because I had these in my bag all day long.
Oh, don't give me the scientific explanation.
And I brought it in, and as we're talking about Riesling and Mozart, the top popped.
It happened before we even started talking about anything. I'm sitting here, honest to goodness, I'm sitting here looking at this bottle of Riesling, thinking Mozart, and it popped its cork. It was like, oh my, there's something clairvoyant and zen-like going on here. I just love it. How long have you worked here?
I've worked at Millbrook 15 years.
Wow. What'd you do before?
I've sold wine all my life.
How did that happen?
I started as a young child. My parents enjoyed wine, and I think I learned that
from them.
Lots
of people enjoy wine. That doesn't lead them into a professional relationship.
You know, your parents were very influential, and your grandparents, and they all had wine at the table, and we drank wine as growing up. So I appreciated wine. And
Was this an Italian family or French family?
No,
or?
Kind of. We're German.
Oh, okay.
In Welsh. So anyway, I always had this fascination with wine, and I love food. My mother was an excellent cook, and I was able to go to college, and at college I worked in the food service business.
Where'd you go to school?
Went to school. I'm a Coloradan, so I went to Fort Lewis College in southern Colorado.
Where in Colorado did you grow up?
Salida. Right in the mountains.
Okay. You got me on that one.
Yeah, that says it's a small
little
town.
What's the closest?
Well, between Aspen. It's up by Aspen and Vale in that area, in the mountains.
So you ski?
I do. I just was skiing last
week. So winters in the Northeast don't frighten you?
No, I love the snow. Very easy with it.
I love the snow, too, for about a week.
Yeah.
and then the glamour wears off. I'm not a winter person. So
my early knowledge in wine was what I learned in the home, and then eventually I went on to work in the restaurant business. I again learned how to write wine lists and more in the service end of the business. And then
what does
I
that
spent,
mean? You learned know how to write a wine list?
Well, I learned about what pairing food and wine and what goes with what. And I was a steakhouse, so we had a lot of nice reds. And so I was very influential in the restaurant business. And then I went on to just because I liked it, I went on as a distributor. And I was in the distributing business with a guy I went to college with for 20 years. And I had the Aspen and Vail market, which was a very lucrative market, and raised my family
Did
there.
Did you know Boogie?
Boogie, yeah.
You know?
What was his name, though? It's not
Boogie Wineglass.
Wineglass.
His name is his real name
Levi
is
Levi Wineglass.
Leonard,
that was it.
Leonard.
Yeah.
Boogie was my cousin Joni's first husband.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, he had a nice little, the diner.
Yep.
Boogie's Diner right downtown. So I spent many years in the distributing end and liquor and wine. And then I went on to the, I worked until I was probably about 20, 25 years at that, and decided that I wanted to retire. And when I did retire, I moved on to, I went to the Culinary Institute of America. I'd always
just down the road a piece.
Yeah, just learned how to cook and I love cooking, and I like food and wine, so
how
it was
long
a nice...
did you go? Is it like an
I went
accredited...
to two-and-a-half-year program. You got an AOS, and I learned it all. I mean, it just really opened up my eyes as far as...
Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and I want to find out what you learned.
Okay, okay.
You know, people, that's the other CIA. When people say CIA, you have to find out if they're talking about the Culinary Institute of America or that other group. We'll be right back. Don't leave me. Stephanie Abrams here. Looking for great island destinations that have beautiful beaches and amazing sightseeing and shopping? Try Malta. Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Just off the coast of Italy, with three islands for travelers to explore, you'll find walled cities, Baroque towns, sleepy villages, gorgeous seaside resorts, wonderful hotels and spas, great restaurants, beautiful beaches, the spiritual paths of St. Paul, and the Cathedral of the Knights of the Order of St. John. Whatever your interest, you'll find it in Malta. Whether it's bustling fishing ports that provide you with an abundance of unique experiences, charming cafes, nightlife clubs, restaurants, and glorious pastry shops that remind travelers of Baroque living, incredible architecture, historic forts, and a world of art, rare books, and botanical gardens, make Malta a must-visit experience. For details, go to visitmalta.com.
It's time to see New York and save 15% with Amtrak. Take your next trip outside big city limits and see more of what New York has to offer. A world of natural beauty, culture, wineries, charming historic towns, outdoor adventure, and delicious locally sourced cuisine await you when you board your Amtrak train in New York City or anywhere along the Hudson Valley route to Albany and beyond, where a wealth of natural wonders await you. Don't miss the beauty of Lake Placid or head for Montreal, all while taking advantage of your 15% savings, and enjoy the comfort and convenience of traveling with Amtrak. Advance reservations are required, and in addition, up to two children ages 2 to 12 may accompany each adult at half the discounted rail fare. Restrictions and blackout dates apply. Plan your Amtrak 15% savings getaway today. Experience being in Amtrak's New York state of mind. It's time to see New York and save 15% with Amtrak. For details, visit Amtrak.com. That's Amtrak.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing.
pricing information.
800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. That's 800-915-9658.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Biz Talk Radio. It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
I am at the Millbrook Vineyards and Winery in Millbrook, New York. And I am with Scott Koster, who is one of the directors here. How far are you from the Culinary Institute, for instance?
25 minutes.
Okay.
Very close.
Yeah,
it's in Hyde Park.
I have been told that if you want to go there and have lunch or dinner, you pretty much have to make a reservation to do that about a year in advance.
No, no,
no.
They'll work you in, I'm sure. If you decide
I'm just
to go,
about me. I'm talking about people. In
no,
general.
You do have to get a reservation to get there, but yeah. It's pretty open. They have several choices, four or five different restaurants that are open. And,
oh, wow.
And once you figure out where you want to eat, it's fairly easy to get in.
Well, we should try that. Well, that's not a reputation.
And well worth it.
You know, I mean, I'm glad I asked the question because I hear it all the time. People say, oh, I'd love to go there, but you pretty much have to make a reservation a year in advance. And, you know, that turns people off from even bothering to try.
It does. No, I think, you know, you just make a call and they'll do their best to serve
you. So when you take this course... Are you there every day, a few days a week?
No, you're there every day for 2.5 years. I mean, it's a very intense
program. And how long, you know, like you arrive and you leave? I mean, is it like a 9-to-3
story? There are two shifts. There's an AM, you're an AM student or a PM student, and the AM student goes in early in the morning and works until about 1, 2 in the afternoon, and the PM student comes in at noon and works till like 5, 6 at night.
Well, that's nice if there are people that have jobs. Because you could still have a job and do that theoretically, no?
Yeah, it'd be a little tough because it's very intense. There's so much to learn and the blocks are very concentrated. And so when you're learning about, say, meat fab, you've got to be in the butchering room from morning.
What is meat what?
Meat fab, fabrication of meat. You break down sides of beef. You know, I mean, and then once you get into the classrooms, you know, those are pretty intense studies, nutrition and restaurant menus. And there are a lot of classes that you take in order to learn about the whole business. And then finally, when you get done with all those classes and your skills classes where you learn knife skills and cooking skills, you then end your time at the culinary working those restaurants. And you literally go from one restaurant to the next restaurant working both back of the house and front of the house.
Oh, wow. That's great.
So these people who are getting in to have dinner there are being served and cooked for by the students.
So right. Really, well, that part I knew.
That's really kind of neat.
That part I knew. I just, you know, and that they've got a wonderful reputation from that point of view.
Food's great.
Yeah. So you got this official appointed as a chef and... but are you using that any place other than your kitchen at home?
Not right now. What I did was I went to the culinary.
What do you do on Thursdays?
I cook
for
private
me?
Homes. So that's what I did when I went back to Aspen. I spent a lot of time doing private homes as a
well, you got the right clientele for it there.
Yeah, perfect. And but I had met a nice lady friend from New York City, and she encouraged me to come back to New York. So I came back and immediately went to work for Millbrook Winery, and been here ever since.
Oh wow!
So
what makes Millbrook wine special, wonderful, unique, and why people should maybe want to stick their noses in a glass full of it?
We are New York State, so our we're very fortunate. As I explained to you earlier, our owner was the Commissioner of Agriculture back in the 70s. For New York State, yeah. He was he'd grown up in Westchester and had a family home here in the Millbrook area as a kid and loved agriculture. And so when he went to school, he went to Cornell, which is the mm-hmm. New York State's agricultural school, and he really liked wine. And
also a place that is a hotel management school that people come to from all over the world. And every time I talk to somebody in Ireland who's unavailable, it's because they're doing their 2 weeks a year that they do at Cornell, on property. And the rest of the time, they're in Ireland studying through, you know, whatever, you know, online and however they work their curriculum.
Well, it's a great school also.
Yeah, that's got a fabulous reputation.
And so when he got out of school, he was focusing on business. He's a businessman first, but he loves the agricultural end of things, and he really wanted to focus on getting New York to grow and kind of he was the pioneer of vinifera, which are the European varietals that we're most familiar with. In those days, the New York grape varieties were native and hybrids and didn't make really as nice of wines as they were making in France and Germany and around the world. So he started experimenting with vinifera grapes. He soon became the youngest.
Those aren't the ones that come from Russia, are they?
No. Vinifera are European-based.
They're all European-based. Okay.
And he was the youngest commissioner of agriculture at about, I think, 30 years old or something. And he worked for Cuomo and Kerry and all of the different governors
you're
that you've heard of.
You're talking about the first Cuomo.
The first Cuomo, yeah.
Right.
So during that time, as commissioner of agriculture, he wrote the Farm Winery Act of 1976.
And what did that do?
And that helped establish small farm wineries to be able to grow grapes, experimenting with vinifera, and to be able to produce those wines with certain tax advantages and being able to sell on Sundays and have tasting rooms and those things, which really helped to nurture the new product that they were growing. Wow. And it was a wonderful piece of legislation. And, of course, it started in the Finger Lakes in Long Island and eventually worked back to us here in the Hudson River region.
You know, we've visited, aside from the wineries we've visited in France and in Germany, we've visited a bunch of them in California. And years ago, and I think things must have changed, and I didn't really pay close attention to the mechanics of it all, but there were wineries we visited in California where they had wine clubs, but they couldn't ship the wine. And they couldn't either they couldn't ship it at all nationally, or they couldn't ship it to people in New York. Is that still
the
story?
That has changed, and it's really helped the industry because it's reciprocity.
When did it change?
Oh, in the last 10 years,
yeah.
Really. I mean, you're right. Yeah. And even still, there are states that we cannot ship to, but it's really opened up. And I think right now there are 19 or 20 states of the 50 that are wide open to ship to. Most of those also producing wine so that their economies and our economies can share the products, which has really helped out things. The New York State wine industry has grown dramatically since 76. We are now, this is our 85th vintage was in 85, so 37th vintage is the 2017 vintage.
Wow.
Which we're doing right now. So it's come a long way, and I think your original question was, why am I really excited about selling New York wines? Because they are so new, and it's something exciting, and it's something that when you sell a product that you can really stand behind, it feels really good. And we've seen the industry change so much with these wines that it's really been exciting for me. Restaurateurs love them. It used to be you'd go in with a New York State wine and they'd look at you like, well,
yeah,
no,
but Brotherhood
I don't think so.
Winery's been here forever with the monks making whatever. Yeah. We've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't leave me. Have you been to Serendipity 3? Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Serendipity 3, located at 225 East 60th Street between 2nd and 3rd Avenues in New York City, offers their signature frozen hot chocolate and hot fudge sundaes. Yum. Hungry? Have a yummy brunch, lunch, pre- and post-theater dinners and munchables in an atmosphere designed to make the best memories. The haunt of celebrities and people in the know for over 5 decades. Serendipity 3 is open Sunday to Thursday from 11 a.m. to midnight and Saturdays until 1 a.m. A New York City visit is incomplete without a stop at Serendipity 3. Before you leave there, pick up a copy of my novel Rumors from their darling gift shop. Visit serendipity3.com for menus and details.
Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. That's 800-306-1760.
If you're one of the millions of Americans who can't work because of a serious injury or illness, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. It doesn't matter if you've applied before and the government has said no. Let the experienced attorneys at Bill Gordon and Associates help you get the Social Security disability you deserve. Their team of attorneys have been fighting for benefits for people just like you for over 20 years. And best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. There are many conditions that make you eligible, including some you may not even be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Bill Gordon and Associates today for your free no-obligation consultation. See if you qualify for the Social Security benefits you need and deserve. 800-470-4453. 800-470-4453. That's 800-470-4453.
Biz Talk Radio. It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
I'm at Millbrook Vineyards and Winery with Scott Koster, who is giving us an update here in Millbrook, New York, in Dutchess County. Literally a hop and a jump from New York City. So easy to get to, people, and so worth the trip. And we are talking about wine and winemaking, especially wine and winemaking in New York State. Do you guys have a wine club, or is it?
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a what we call a portfolio club, and people are able to purchase two bottles, and we choose two different bottles every month, and they can be either bi-month, you know, every
bottle
other
of
month.
The month club.
Yeah, that's basically what it is, and it works really well. We do a nice food and wine pairing sheet with a recipe, usually. We give them a nice tasting notes on the wine so that they can share them with their friends. And then we give them a little incentive to buy some nice discounts if they purchase the bottle. So it's a really a nice little club, and it makes a wonderful gift for people.
So these five varieties that are lined up here, the Cabernet, the Pinot Noir, the Chardonnay, the Riesling, and the I can't say
Tokai it. Tokai Friulano. So...
Okay.
I'll make it in two syllables here because it's really easy.
Tokai.
Tokai is the grape, okay. And the original grape came from Friuli in Italy. So It's a Tokai from Friulano.
Gotcha.
Okay.
He thinks I'm going to be able to do that.
Do you know it took me
2 years to learn to say apostolocus? I mean, you know, there are some words that, you know, it just takes some effort for me to... focus on it, especially once I decide that's beyond my capabilities. I have to get to the point where I say to myself, self, you can handle this one.
You will by the end of the day.
Well, I don't know. I've got you here. All I have to do is point to you and you do it on command.
These are varietals that we grow. So that's why I brought these five specific bottles, because we have 36 acres of vineyard. And we grow these specific wines so that we call them our estate wines because they're grown on these.
Okay. So it's not quite spring, summer growing season yet. And you've got a whole bunch of lovely looking vines out there.
That have not been
blanketed
pruned.
Blanketed in snow.
That have not been pruned. In California and in warmer climes, they prune right after harvest. Here, we leave everything on until we see what kind of winter we're having, and then we determine what are the best canes for next year's growth. So our pruning
now
will happen
I get it.
In March.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Look what you just said. Now I get it. I have done for the last more years than I wish to attest to. Business with people all over the world, and it's incredible how probably, I guess if we use the old 80%, 20% rule, 80% have become great friends, just great friends. I mean, I could call them and wake them up in the middle of the night and they do whatever it took, you know, I mean, just, and one of those people is Jean-Paul Pelletier, who is Mexican, descended from when the French were in Mexico. And he fell in love with some wine that's an American wine. I think it may be Californian. And it has the word canes in it. And I couldn't understand. And he wanted me to take him to a really great wine store, because only a really great wine store was going to have this wine. And he bought, there were 11 bottles. The guy wouldn't let him buy all 11. He said, I got to save one for one of my customers. So he bought 10 bottles of wine. And I think they were about $100 a bottle.
Wow.
And, yeah, he was a good customer for the day. But I couldn't figure out why would you name wine something. It was a number, so many canes.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, it took all this time. You know, that happened somewhere in the mid-90s.
And each cane, we cut to 10 buds. Because we need about...
So you don't call them branches.
No. We need about 70 to 80% bud break to have a nice crop for the next year. So so what we do is select the canes that have the most hope to be develop into wonderful plants. And then we cut it at 10 buds and hoping that we get at least 8 or 9 of those buds to open up in the springtime to give us the shoots, which will each have 2 clusters on them.
When do you gather the grapes?
When they are ripe.
And that would
and
be
in
when?
New York, that's normally October and even into the 1st of November. Our Cabernet Franc normally comes off late, and we'll let it hang as long as we can. As long as there are still leaves on the plant, on the vine, we get ripening. So once the leaves drop, then we go out and we'll harvest everything.
You know, and I'm hoping you're going to tell me this happens here too, because I will beat a path to your door when you tell me you're harvesting. But we were in, I think it was Napa, but we were in that whole Napa Sonoma region, but I think it was in Napa, and we were there at the time of year, it had to be September, I'm going to say, and they were harvesting. And there's this one... Anybody that's ever been out there knows there's this one road. You can't get lost. It's just this one road goes, I guess it's north-south, through Napa, Sonoma. And you just keep driving. And all the wineries, most of them, if you're driving toward... If you're driving with Napa, with Sonoma at your back and you're driving through Napa, they're mostly on the right side of the road. There are a few on the left.
Yep.
And you just keep driving. You will hit every winery you've ever heard of is going to be on that road. And it was harvest season. And honest to goodness, we had the windows of the car we had rented down. And the aroma of grapes out on the road.
Oh, yeah.
The vineyards were up like, you know, it's all hilly and all. And they're all way back off. The driveways are 2 miles long when you get off the road to get to the hacienda or chateau or, you know, the Tuscan looking mansion or whatever their place looks like. You can't even see the vineyards, but the grapes, my goodness. And when we went to a few of them, you drive up the long driveway and you get there and they've got these big dumpster looking things and they're just, you know, just mounded up with grapes. And it is just, it's nice to be able to breathe, you know, just inhale the aroma is amazing.
Well, why don't you come out for harvest?
You'll just have to tell me. You got my number.
Yeah.
And I got your number, fella.
We have a harvest party every year.
What is that?
It sounds like you like food, so.
Yeah, food.
A culinarian.
food is good.
We do a beautiful luncheon here. This year, I believe it's October
something
10th
rather.
Or 14th. It's right in there.
Height of foliage.
And
got
we
it.
Bring in a famous chef from the city or Westchester, wherever, and we have this wonderful harvest party. Usually about 300 people's tented out in front. The colors, you know, you're in the Berkshires. You know the colors are just beautiful.
Yeah, our colors are better
year.
Than your colors.
I think they are. You get more reds. I think you get those deep reds.
That's it. We have a bigger variety of...
Hardwood.
Of different trees. And so we get a stronger spectrum of color. I mean, if any place north of New York City, when you start to drive north, you're going to go through gorgeous stuff.
Gorgeous.
And, you know, New York State has, I mean, I've been a New Yorker until I moved to Massachusetts. So, you know, I understand what New York has to offer. And Vermont has gorgeous trees. New Hampshire has gorgeous trees. But we feel like we've got the market cornered in the Berkshires. But you've got an opportunity.
And the grapes are beautiful then, too, because they take on a nice color. They're finally going. The grapes are turning color and the leaves are turning color. And it's just a magical time of year. Mm. And a lot of bees, a lot of activity going on, so please come back.
Do you know the story of Hennessy Cognac? Because when you were talking about the colors of the grapes and all, it came to me, and I thought it might be something of interest to my listeners. Okay, Hennessy Cognac. So when, you know, there have been over the last 1,000 years, people leaving Ireland for various reasons of oppression and persecution and other political nonsense that has made people's lives miserable. The Hennessy family moved from Ireland and settled in France. And the section of France that they moved into is called Cognac. Like there's the Champagne section, there's the Burgundy section. And so if grapes come out of a place, it'll be named for the region that it came from. So they got to where they set up housekeeping to build a life in France. And they, their family wanted, the guys in the family, they wanted to build a still because in Ireland they had a still. And they, you know, it's like the Irish who brought their idea of how to make a still to America.
Yep.
And made moonshine. Well, moonshine, the Irish word for moonshine is pachin. So they wanted to set up a still to make their moonshine, their pachin. Pachin is generally made from potato skins. And then Ireland was overloaded with potatoes. I'm going to tell you the rest of the story after this break. Stephanie Abrams at the Millbrook Vineyards and Winery in Dutchess County, New York. Don't leave me. Movie show travel itineraries with dots on maps. I want to do better than that and take you traveling by TV. Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Join me on Sundays on my new show, Travel TV with Stephanie Abrams, airing coast to coast when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Plan to sit right beside me. We'll explore travel for fun, business, reunions, weddings, honeymoons, families, and sports adventures, reaching homes in Boston, New York City, Miami, Orlando, Tampa, Dallas, Houston, Nashville, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and more cities across America. Our affiliate TV stations are listed at sabrams.com/blog. That's sabrams.com/blog and at biztv.com. Let's take off traveling together when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Sundays.
Tickets are now on sale for the 2018 Tanglewood season, entitled Bernstein Centennial Summer, celebrating Lenny at Tanglewood. Maestro Andras Nelsons and world-famous guest conductors lead the Boston Symphony Orchestra in timeless classical masterpieces. Reserve your space at Tanglewood, the summer home of the Boston Symphony Orchestra, in the beautiful Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts. Tickets are now on sale. Call 888-266-1200 or visit tanglewood.org.
Stephanie Abrams here, inviting you to Northern Ireland's North Coast, where landscapes and seascapes inspire filmmakers. Walk in mythical footsteps of giant Finn McCool at Giant's Causeway. Trek across Carrickaree Rope Bridge. Enjoy miles of sugary sand at Port Stewart Beach. And have a bite at Harry's Shack with its million-dollar panoramic beach view.
Visit nationaltrust.org.uk and search for Giant's Causeway.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least 2 federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least 2 federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making with Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Biz Talk Radio.
Got some soda, mud in your eye.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Stephanie Abrams here at the Millbrook Vineyards and Winery in Millbrook, New York, in Dutchess County, in the beautiful Hudson Valley. And I was sharing how, I guess people don't think about it much, but how does a French fine cognac get an Irish name like Hennessy? And the way it happened is that when the Hennessy family left Ireland and they looked for a place to settle, they settled in France. And when they got there, the guys wanted to set up a still to make their moonshine the way they always did at home. And though, as I mentioned, if you're just joining us in the last segment, the Irish word for moonshine is pachin. So they wanted to make their pachin, and they set up, you know, like bathtub gin. They set up their operation, and the problem was there were no potatoes in France. And as a matter of fact, people, potatoes were outlawed in France for 50 years in the 1700s because the French thought potatoes were just a ridiculous vegetable, and why would you need them anyway? And even before they outlawed them, the people didn't like potatoes. So you couldn't find the potato in France. So how are they going to... They used the potato skin to make the pachin. So they needed some kind of the skin of some kind of vegetation to make their pachin. And what skin was in great, you know, plentiful...
Readily available, yeah.
The skin from grapes. So they went and they got the grapes, and they distilled the skin of the grapes, and they got their moonshine out of that. And because they lived in the cognac region of France, the drink was called cognac. And so then the Hennessy family, people liked it. And so they said, hey, there's a business here, and that's how you get Hennessy cognac. You like that story?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That's a good one.
I didn't know that at all.
It's true, too.
Yeah.
That's the best part. It's not, I didn't make it up.
They had to age it, though.
I don't know what
that's
they had to
yeah,
do, but,
yeah,
you know. But, you know, I love the way wine smells. Someone told me decades ago, I had a friend over, and she and her family were staying for dinner, and I was fussing in the kitchen, and I had a bottle of cooking wine on the shelf, and I was about to add it to some... beef bourguignon or whatever it was I was making, and she looked at me and she said, if you're not willing to drink it, don't cook it in your food. So that was the last time I ever had or bought cooking wine. And the first thing I always do is to look and see, do we have a bottle of something in the refrigerator or something that's, you know, partially open, or go open something, which drives my husband crazy, by the way, when I open a bottle of wine just to put a couple of tablespoons into something I'm cooking. But it adds such an element. And you're not getting the alcohol, because that's cooking out. You're just getting the flavor. So I get all that. But I'm not a drinker. You need to know that.
Yeah.
I mean, my drink of choice is Diet Coke. And I save my calories for the most part for hot fudge. So, but, you know, I don't have a problem with other people drinking. I just don't need it to get silly, because I'm silly enough.
Well, so much about wine is in the nose and the taste.
Yep.
So you really don't, you know, even if you're not a big drinker, you should experience the smells and the taste of the wine.
The smell is delicious.
Yeah, it really is.
You know, almost everything. I can't think of something I don't like, the aroma. And I can't say that for coffee, by the way. There are coffee aromas that just are vile. But I don't think I...
this.
Okay.
This is our...
Oh, geez.
Again, we're going to say it. Tokai Friulano.
You did that very well. Congratulations.
And it's one of the most aromatic whites around. We're very fortunate that it's a grape that grows well here. Mr. Dyson, our owner and founder, brought the grape to Cornell, then eventually to here at Millbrook, where we've planted it in the mid-80s. It does really well.
But how do these things survive winters? I mean, when you think of
vineyards in
Italy, they don't go through this trauma of the winter.
They're sleeping. They're slumbering right now. So all the juices in the cells are sleeping and everything's resting. And then once the weather warms up and the water starts, we will get a new crop. But right now, they're just...
I wish my son were here.
Slumbering.
Since my son is maybe 5 years old, he hates when I talk about him. I shouldn't tell the story, but it's true. Since my son was a wee little one, he would pick up a glass of wine at the dinner table. You know, we had company or it was some festive event or something. And he would do this thing like you see wine tasters do. Where he got this from, I don't know. But I mean, he'd go through the swirling, and then he would, inhale deeply a couple of times. And then he would hold the glass up, and he would do, in this very sexy voice, this little five-year-old, he would do something like, sweet with a hint of cherry.
Good for him.
Oaky. With a bit of hickory. And he'd go on and on. Like, I don't know where he ever got this.
He must have watched a show.
Had to see something somewhere. It really impressed him. But
so
this smells very fruity.
Good. Exactly what it is. It's got a lot of fruit-forward nose to it. Almost a tropical.
Yes.
A lot of tropical fruits.
Yes.
It's very unique.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's a wine that you're only going to find.
Do you make this in a perfume?
Boy, wouldn't
that
be
imagine
a perfume?
Think about it. You know, you're talking to the innovator here. Wouldn't that be interesting? A line of perfumes that, you know, attract people because they like the smell of the wine, you know.
They do make soaps out of it.
Somebody kiss you on the neck and, you know, get a whiff and get, you know, get high on your perfume. You know, it's like, that would be cool.
And this is done all in stainless steel. So we do it to hold on to those really fresh floral, fruity nose.
Well, now that I have
sniffed
my brains out.
But it's fermented all the way out, so it's dry.
Now that I have sniffed my brains out here, am I going to be able to smell that Riesling, or is this
being
in the perfume store and my nose is no longer working?
No, we're going to do that next.
Because, you know, you can't smell more than two perfumes.
Riesling has a very distinct, and it's
Mozart.
Like a German Riesling. It's Mozart.
It's Mozart.
Oh, it didn't pop.
Oh, that's a pity. That would have been nice to catch.
This is our 2016 dry Riesling, estate grown, and just recently got a 90 in the Wine Enthusiast, which is a magazine that rates wine. So we're very proud of it. John Graziano's our winemaker, and he's been here the entire time. He came with Mr. Dyson to plant the grapes in '79. He decided that he would like to be a winemaker in 1985 for that first vintage, and he's been the only person responsible for making Millbrook wines the entire time.
Wow.
And he's a master.
Go him.
Yeah, John Graziano.
Well, this smells lovely, but I like that one.
You like the more of that tropical fruit. This
is
more apple-y.
Name of it?
Tokai Friulano. Tokai Friulano.
I like that one better. Thank you for inviting us. This has been
Thank
wonderful.
Thank you for coming.
Come back next week, everybody. Got to fly now.
Pack up. Let's fly away.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.